The history of Native Americans is excruciating. Pushed onto reservations or into poor villages, by the mid-20th century, many tribes and families were fighting for survival. Federal policies tried to push assimilation. Native American children were taken from their parents. Laws forbade the traditional way of life. In the 1950s, a policy called the Urban Relocation Program encouraged Native people to move to urban areas with promise of a better life that was frequently left unfulfilled by the federal government. Thousands of Native Americans moved to cities around the U.S., including Oakland and San Francisco. Many became separated not just from their land, but from the traditions and religious ceremonies of their ancestors. Today, we're going to hear how one man reclaimed his heritage through sweat lodge ceremonies. KLW's Judy Silber reports on how he now offers the same chance to others through a lodge in his Oakland backyard.
It's intense in a sweat lodge. You enter a round structure about 5 feet high at the center and sit down on an earthen floor. Then the flap of heavy blankets closes and you're left in utter darkness. Moments later, the leader pours water over hot volcanic rocks. Like a sauna, thick steam rises and spreads. For some people, the experience can be terrifying, at least at first. For others, it's a welcome home.
These we call abuelas. Some people call them abuelos, grandparents.
Samuel Martinez is pointing to rocks piled next to a large outdoor fireplace in his East Oakland backyard. A few feet behind us is the actual sweat lodge. In a few hours, he will lead a ceremony inside. He and a few others bustle around. Two are fire keepers.
Right now we're bringing in wood for the fire to heat up the rocks. It's a lot of work to gather it. Most of this wood has to be gathered up in the hills.
In parts of North America, the purifying tradition dates back many thousands of years.
It's just a feeling of discharge. You start feeling like you need it. After a few months, you feel like, I need a lodge.
It is a tradition of spirituality, purification, and community.
There's a healing that goes on.
To prepare for the ritual, Martinez turns toward the fireplace, raises one hand high, closes his eyes, and speaks in Nahuatl, an indigenous language still spoken in some parts of Mexico. The Nahuatl name for sweat lodge is Temescal, which is what Martinez prefers to call it.
I open my heart so you show me the road. I drink from your waters to wake up the lessons you would have me share.
Several influences are present here. The lodge frame is made of arched willow boughs and covered by heavy blankets. That's Lakota style from a tribe on the Great Plains. During ceremonies, Martinez speaks in Spanish, Nahuatl, and English. He will also call on his education as a trauma counselor to emphasize healing and compassion. The mixture reflects his history. Martinez is part Navajo. He also has ancestors who likely migrated north from what is now Mexico hundreds of years ago. Many Mexicans come to his lodge trying to access indigenous roots diluted or lost after Spain's invasion of the Americas. The sweat lodge may be connected to ancient ways, but today in Oakland, modern concessions must be made.
Hi, I'd like to report a ceremonial burn.
One of the firekeepers calls the local fire department.
For 4 hours. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Martinez has lived most of his life in Oakland, but not all of it. He has fond memories of the valley where he lived and played in Fort Garland, Colorado. That's where his family settled after a great-grandmother was separated from the Navajo Nation. Then in the 1950s, the U.S. government pushed a policy of relocating Native Americans to urban areas. In 1953, his family left Colorado and boarded a bus headed for Oakland. He was 3 years old.
They made their campaign of relocation sound pretty good. If you assimilate and become more American and speak Americano and learn how to work Americano and live in Americano cities, you won't be cold no more and hungry.
Martinez is 64 now. He has a quick wit, the kind of person who looks for humor at every turn. But he still tears up when he talks about those early Oakland years. The family ended up in public housing, in an old Navy barracks near High Street. He says it wasn't fit for adults, let alone children.
Because in the projects, the children would wake up to toxics dumped at the railroad tracks, in the bay, in the field. One day a little kid came with two hands full of mercury, we used to call liquid silver.
Racism was also present. In school, he felt hated for who he was.
By 9 years old, I was convinced that I had bad hair, bad blood, bad skin, bad roots.
At home, the family spoke Spanish, mixed with words preserved from native languages. Martinez didn't know English when he started kindergarten. The teachers would grab his ear and yell,
"Speak English, you're in America." When I'm being hurt and scared like that, I would cry out, "Ay, Dios mío!" They would pull harder and yell harder, and, "Ay, Dios mío!" They convinced me something was wrong with my brain. I would come home and tell my mama, "Algo me pasa en mi cerebro, mamá mía."
"Mama, something is wrong with my brain." His mother would wrap him in a blanket, massage his body, and sing medicine songs. She prepared healing herbs the way her grandmothers taught her.
Sometimes she would make a warm tea, and then she'd sing a medicine song, and she'd calm me down.
But the cruelty at school ripped into him on a daily basis. Home life was hard as well. His father, a World War II veteran, lashed out in drunken rages. For many years, Martinez sought healing for these kinds of memories. The sweat lodge resonated and helped. Once he felt better, he wanted to make it available to others.
"I'm going to prepare the agua florida, the flower water, the water with flower essence in it."
People who come to the sweat lodge splash this agua florida on their bodies. Then a firekeeper explains they purify with an aromatic smoke called copal.
"And the third thing that we offer them is to grab some cedar and to start to place their heart on an intention."
"Because it is a sacred ritual, I will stay outside with my recorder when the ceremony begins. Today, only Martinez, his firekeepers, and a few others will enter. But once a month, he holds a community lodge. On those days, 40 or more people, including women, men, and young children, may come." When Samuel Martinez was 9 years old, he had a near-death experience in the bay. He says he saw a light. It calmed him, made him feel whole.
"I'm one of the human beings who died and came back alive, and the witness of that light, is beautiful."
He wanted to find that light again.
"We're always looking for that place to feel comfortable in our own skin, a place to feel accepted and respected and cared about."
For the next 30 years, he searched, starting in the Catholic Church. There, he says he found the light. But he felt unwelcome in a place that displayed images of a white God, a white Jesus,
a white Mary, a white angels, a white Adam and Eve.
No one who looked like him. As he grew older, Martinez started to form his identity. He became a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War, and later a community activist who fought for human rights. But he also turned to alcohol, like his father. His children begged him to stop. He always started again. Finally, in 1989, a budding group that became the National Compadres Network invited him to a Latino men's council. That first council, he says, was like a deja vu, like a memory had been released from his DNA.
DNA memory burst in my heart, you know, the first time I made a circle with these men, and they lit this fire, and they put copal in the sacred essence, and we made that four-corner prayer.
Later, the group started holding sweat lodges. Martinez realized staying connected to these ceremonies was about more than culture. It was about survival. It helped him to stay clean and sober, and he saw how it could benefit others. After several years of training, he asked permission to lead sweat lodges at his own home. Today, Martinez's sweat lodge is one of only a few in Oakland. Those who come call him Tio Samuel, Uncle Samuel. In turn, he calls them the relatives, no matter their ethnic identity. Participants bring food and offerings, but pay nothing.
Once everybody that's here to participate are seated inside, then we bring in the stones.
After that, Martinez will ask for 4 volunteers who will say a prayer or lead songs that can soothe difficult feelings. The ceremony will last several hours. Participants will emerge looking exhausted and drenched with sweat. Sweat that may have brought memories to the surface, but also a release.
How do you keep a people together like that, the national identity and pride, and you're trying to survive, you know, dominated by a society that hates everything about you, except how they define you. That can be mended. I've been standing like on a mountain crying out, you know, we survived. It wasn't destroyed. It wasn't burnt. It survived intact. What was, is.
It took many years for Martinez to find a place of faith where he belonged, a place where he could see that light he experienced as a kid. But inside the darkness of the lodge, he sees it. For Cross Currents, I'm Judy Silber.